It appears to me that devotional worship of God or Brahman seems irrational from the point of view of Advaita. That is, Brahman is real, the world is an appearance, and each jiva is actually Brahman. So, if we engage in traditional worship of God or Brahman, then we are de facto worshipping ourselves, which is absurd. It's like petitioning a king for consideration when the king is in fact us. Who is petitioning who? Even from the point of view of Patanjali, if Satyam were non-lying or sincerity, then having mutually contradictory practices or beliefs would violate the yoga path as well, the yogi path as well. How can one worship God as Heavenly Father, Krishna, etc., if one feels in their heart that the distinction between the worshipper and the worshipped is false, an appearance? This sure seems duplicitous and insincere to me.
All right. The question resonates? It's a good question. First of all, Jonathan, straight answer, you are right. There's no problem with that. Logically, philosophically, the position you have taken is a position. It's a position. And it is taken by traditional non-dualists in India too. There are those who do that. But, so having said that, now let's go deeper into the question. There are practical grounds and philosophical grounds for the worship of God. That's what I'll reply to this question. Practical grounds and philosophical grounds too. First of all, philosophically speaking, one thing one must be clear about. The worship of God and Advaita are not on the same level of reality. Do you remember what we discussed about levels of reality? When you say Brahman is real, what level is it? Absolute, relative, or illusory? Which one?
Absolute.
Brahman is real from the absolute point of view. Right? The world is a false, an appearance, from the absolute point of view. I am Brahman from the absolute point of view. But when if I worship God, I have a puja and a Krishna or a Christ before me. At what level am I doing it?
Transactional
or relative or vyavaharika level. The two levels are not the same. So worship of God at the vyavaharika level does not contradict the absoluteness of Brahman. Brahman is real, the world is an appearance, you are Brahman, absolutely true. Relatively, that Brahman being identified with a body and mind, worshipping God, who is the Father, who is the Mother, who is Krishna, who is Christ, perfectly all right. Are you with me so far? Let me put it this way. Even here, a doubt might persist. Jonathan might ask. Granted, if somebody is at the relative point of view, that person can worship God. But Advaita Vedanta speaks about the absolute. So from the absolute point of view, we should not at all speak about worshipping of God. You should only keep on speaking about Brahman being real and the world being an appearance and you are Brahman. Let me say this. From the point of view of absolute also, if you are a committed non-dualist, Jonathan, do you eat? Do you walk? Do you talk? Do you put on clothes? Do you exercise? Do you talk to people? You do everything else in the world, which are all dualistic practices. You're acting as a body and a mind for all practical purposes. Now, what harm has poor God done to you? That I will do everything dualistic in this world except going to temple or church. Now let me resolve this tangle. It's a very simple resolution actually. The resolution is this. This is the key. I'll give you the key. The key is reality of non-duality does not contradict experience of duality. This has been mentioned in Panchadashi also. After you realize that the sky, there's no blue color in the sky, it's an appearance. When you look up at the sky, what do you see?
Blue sky.
Now, when you look at the blue sky, do you say the sky is really blue? No, you know it's not blue. It looks that way. The experience of the blue sky and the reality of the colorless sky, can they exist together? Yes. How can something be colorless and blue at the same time?
Knowledge.
Only because of different levels. Only because it's really colorless and appears to be blue. Right? If the sky was really, really blue, how could the same sky be red sometimes? How could it be black sometimes? How could it even be colorless? No. Really, it's colorless. And it appears black at night. It appears blue in the morning. It appears red at sunset. Appears. Because of the scattering of light. We know the physics, the optics of it. Exactly in the same way, non-duality is reality or appearance? It's reality. Non-duality, Advaita, is reality. And Dvaita is appearance. You know what is contradictory? Real duality and real non-duality are contradictory. Am I really separate from God and am I really one with God? Contradictory. Obviously, logically contradictory. But am I really one with God and I appear to be separate? Fine, there's no problem with it. You know, when two persons worship God and one says, I'm a non-dualist, and the other one says, I'm a dualist. You know what's the difference? The difference is philosophical. The dualist says, here I am worshipping my Lord, he is my father or she is my mother, and I am the child, and we are different. And this is where I stop. That is dualism. I love my Lord, I depend on my Lord, and I surrender to my Lord. What about being one with your Lord? Impossible, because I am not one with my Lord. That is real dualism. Now, when the so-called non-dualist worships God, he says, here I am. I appear as body and mind, as this individual being, as a human being. And here is the same Brahman appearing as God, Ishwara. Nirguna Brahman, Saguna Brahman. The absolute is Nirguna Brahman, Brahman beyond attributes. And God is Saguna Brahman, Brahman with the mask of attributes, with a name, Ramakrishna, or Krishna, or Christ, with a form. The name is illusory, Maya. The form is also Maya. If you remove the name and form, you and Ramakrishna are one Brahman. But as long as you wear that particular mask, and God will wear this mask, and then your relation is worshipper and worshipped. Knowing all the time you are one reality. Is it beginning to make sense? A non-dualist can worship. There's no harm in that. Now, to be fair to Jonathan, even this kind of worship, is it contraindicated or is it necessary or is it useful? It's not contraindicated. It's not wrong. It's not harmful. It is useful. It is good. But if Jonathan asks, is it necessary? I will have to say, it's not necessary. There may be that rare soul who can go straight and realize, Aham Brahmasmi, the world is an appearance. Can you bypass God? You're actually not bypassing God. You're going to the reality about God and yourself. Now, this is the philosophical reconciliation. Put it in one little sentence. The reality of non-duality is not contradicted by the appearance of duality. A real non-duality can very well appear, coexist and does coexist with the appearance of duality. For example, right now, aren't we having a dual experience, an experience of duality? All seems to be different from each other, right? That's our life. If Advaita is true, Brahman, is it there right now? Is it non-dual right now?
Yes.
If it is non-dual right here, right now, and it is you, and yet we are experiencing a dualistic world, then what I said must be true, that an appearance of duality can exist with the reality of non-duality. That is the meaning of the statement, Brahma Satyam Jagat Mithya. What is Mithya? Mithya means false. Brahma Satyam means Brahman alone is real. Jagat Mithya means world is an appearance. What is the meaning of appearance? That which is not real looks like that. Don't you say that? Yeah, appears to be a nice person. Meaning? Not a nice person. It appears to be dual. Meaning? It's not dual, it's non-dual. Our mistake is not that we experience duality. We think this is the final reality. That's our mistake. Advaita says this is not the reality. There is an underlying reality of non-duality which appears as a dual universe. Okay, philosophically so far, that is the thing. Let me know when the food is ready. Yes. Okay. So the reality of non-duality does not contradict the appearance of duality. All this duality and non-duality is making us hungry. There was this monk who was a strict non-dualist, and a pandit who used to come to him. It's a story I heard in the Himalayas. It's a true story. It happened this way. The pandit used to come and fight about that duality alone is true. Dualism is true. Dvaita is real and Advaita is not correct. Then one day the Swami said to this pandit, I'll tell you in Hindi and then translate. The Swami said, अरे पंडित जी द्वैत सत्य है ये तो गौ भी जानती है आप पंडित है तो कोई नई चीज बताओ Duality is real, even that cow on yonder field knows that. I am different from the grass, so I have to eat the grass. You call yourself a pandit, tell me something new. What is new? Actually, what he means is, what is new? It appears to be a dualistic world. The reality is non-dualistic. That is the saving knowledge of Advaita Vedanta. On the other hand, another story of a pandit and a swami, the same swami who was a strict non-dualist. Another pandit came and argued in favor of dualism, and the swami was arguing in favor of non-dualism. And finally the pandit came, this is a different pandit, came and said, Swami, I agree, you are right. Advaita is correct and Dvaita is not. Actually, the discussion was about the absolute without qualities, nirakara, formless, and the with form, nirguna and saguna, with quality and without qualities. Without qualities, without attributes, the absolute, which is Advaita. With qualities, dualistic approach, Dvaita. So finally the pandit came and said, Swami, you are right. Without qualities, nirguna, the absolute, that alone, Advaita is right. In Hindi, nirgun theek hai. Aap theek bole hai. You said nirgun is right, so nirguna is correct. You are right. Now this Swami, who had been arguing all these days in favor of the absolute, in favor of the attributeless absolute, he shot back. He said, and God with qualities, is that your uncle, Sagun tera chacha hai? It's like saying Bob's your uncle. What he meant was, the God with qualities, which I have been arguing against so long, is exactly the same as the absolute without qualities. In reality, it without qualities. That reality without qualities appears to you in your world of experience, in your dualistic dealing, as God with qualities. They are not two separate things. All right. Practical point. I'm not done yet. Practical point. Come down to classical Advaita. Look at one of the best ways of resolving these doubts is, look at the persons you would consider enlightened. Look at Shankaracharya, clearly a non-dualist, Advaita Vedanta. How many hymns he has written to Krishna, to Shiva, to the Divine Mother. Beautiful hymns, to the Ganges, Ganga Stotram. Beautiful hymns, devotional hymns, full of dualistic fervor of worship. Who? None other than Adi Shankaracharya himself. Was he being duplicitous? No, he sees no contradiction at all. There's no contradiction at all. Even those we consider uncompromising non-dualists in this world, in the modern world, Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta, Nisargadatta Maharaj, he carried on a dualistic form of bhajan all his life. Bhajan, singing devotional songs. His guru taught him that and he would sing. I think in the evenings he would offer incense and you sing. So is it something like a vestigial organ which he should get rid of, like the appendix? No, he sees no contradiction. Ramana Maharshi, the great non-dualist, his devotion to Arunachala Shiva was constant throughout his life. And he saw no contradiction at all. I am one with Arunachala Shiva, but also have devotion and love for Arunachala Shiva. I think he wrote one hymn which has the bridal mysticism, Madhura Bhava, towards Arunachala Shiva. This is the height of dualistic worship. And of course you have Ramakrishna. You'll say, but Ramakrishna was dual. Some people will say Ramakrishna was dualistic, he was a devotee. Swami Vivekananda said about himself and Ramakrishna, he said, I seem to be a jnani on the outside, inside I am a devotee, I am a bhakta. And the old man, he mentioned Ramakrishna, he used to call him the old man. The old man was bhakti outside, inside he was all jnana. Completely non-dualistic inside. And yet his whole life was what? Bhakti. No contradiction, he sees no contradiction. Take the example of, there's a beautiful saying, a non-dualistic, by a great non-dualistic master. I think it was probably Narasingha, I think. Oh, I forget the name of the teacher. Bodhat prak dvaitam mohaya prapte manishaya bhaktiartham kalpitam dvaitam advaitadapi sundaram. What does it mean? It's a beautiful saying. Before enlightenment, duality puts you in delusion. It traps you in this little body-mind self. It's delusion, the world we live in. After enlightenment, a duality imagined for the sake of love, bhakti, is more beautiful than non-duality. Look at the word used. Imagine duality and real non-duality. No contradiction. Why would you imagine a duality? Because for the sake of love, bhakti. You are sugar, but you imagine yourself as separate from sugar to taste sugar. Then you know your own sweetness. That's bhakti based on Advaita. That bhakti is an expression of non-duality. The worship of God before attainment of non-dual illumination is useful for non-dual illumination, not harmful. After attainment of non-dual illumination, you can continue as a devotee of God. It's an expression of your non-dual illumination. Enough said. Again, to Jonathan, I would say, not essential. Try it out for yourself, and if you feel the need for dualistic worship and devotion and love, don't be ashamed. All the great non-dualists have happily embraced this dualistic worship. The key is imagine duality, real non-duality.